Let's talk to the great Michael Steele. Oh, Michael, how are you today?
I am doing just hunky-dory. How are you?
I'm fine. I took pills. My doctor said I've got to take anti-Trump pills, and they're making me very happy.
He's been in a great mood today.
Just great. It's
kind of
be
that
better.
Fake. It's kind of that fake great, though. Oh, you know, yeah. When you're sort of like, "Hey, it's all great.
Yeah,
it's good. I'm feeling good."
I'm dying inside, but yes, I am. And it's not just Trump, but I will say this: he's not helping. He is not helping my mental state. All right, now first of all, I want two things. One. Number one, Mr. Trump apologized for something today. He said that he shouldn't have sent out that tweet with Ted Cruz's wife. So that was a mistake.
That was big.
He said the word mistake, and it wasn't just
Yeah, he didn't stumble over the words.
Right.
He didn't mumble them. He said it very clearly. He made the point.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the transformation that's going to be required. You're also seeing, I think, the impact of Paul Manafort. On this campaign, a seasoned veteran who understands the inner workings of the party, understands, how a presidential campaign needs to posture itself, particularly after it blows itself up a number of times.
But it blew itself up to success, though. I mean,
Trump is actually listening.
I want to ask you this question because you've been around the game a long time. If Trump moderates, will he disappoint his core? Or deactivate them in any way?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think they understand. Look, no one's going to stop supporting Trump because he said it was a mistake to retweet the picture of Mrs. Cruz or any of that. No one's going to jump off his bandwagon, if he doesn't incite riots at his rally. From that standpoint, I think in large measure, his people get it. They understand. They understand the situation he's in. They also recognize they're not stupid. They're looking at the same polls we're looking at, that he's got a problem with a lot of voters that they know he's going to need to win. It's that, their support of him won't be enough. He needs others to be a part of it. So what I've been hearing is actually folks sort of anticipating the moderation. And in some cases hoping for it because they think he does need to moderate them. So
but
not on the positions. Again, be clear, not moderating on the positions. Not saying, okay, now we're only going to build an 8-foot wall, not a 15-foot wall.
Well, he actually raised to 30 feet because somebody questioned him. All right, you want 30 feet? I'll make it 30 feet. Yeah, go for 60.
Keep going.
He's like great Santini. Right. Go for 60. I don't understand. I've never understood the appeal, and I don't anymore. I don't any better now. But his moderating, it is interesting because I think you're absolutely right. Paul Manafort, the guy that they hired, he realized he had a problem. He had a guy that was working for him who wasn't really a campaign runner. In a cycle like this. And he was doing everything off the cuff, and the guy that was doing it, that was his campaign director, couldn't do anything about it. He didn't want to do anything about it. He was just letting Trump be Trump, and he wanted him to be pugilistic, and that was fine. Now in order to get elected or to be taken more seriously, they're going to give him speeches. He's going to be very careful about how much television he does prior to these primaries, right?
And watch the press go through with Trump withdrawal.
Yes, I'm already.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be fascinating to watch because as he cuts back on his exposure on these shows and just being totally accessible to the press and just being accessible to the press, it's going to be fun to watch him kind of sort of squirm over that.
Does that mean he has to spend more money then? Because one of the things he's done is access the free media in a really masterful way. But then now, until some things blew up, but now it might mean that, right, he'd have to start spending.
Yeah. In fact, they're already talking to him about that very thing, that in terms of what's happening now with the delegates, he has to spend money because he's got to put money in these states in order to do the after action work. In securing his delegates. We've seen just this past weekend in Colorado what can happen. We've seen Louisiana, Georgia, Virginia. He's getting clocked right now in Indiana, and that contest doesn't happen until May. But he's already behind because what you're seeing right now is an inside game that a lot of folks don't pay attention to or know very little about, and that's among the Republicans who actually run the party, both at the national level and the state and local level. They've become significant players as this thing moves forward, and you're seeing that now play itself out in the post-delegate selection process. And Trump doesn't have a play here, and he's getting his clock cleaned.
Well, it is interesting because last night they had the on CNN, they did that Kennedy Nixon, they do that presidential thing that that is produced by the same people who produce House of Cards, which I think is very interesting. But it is a
perfect.
It is almost perfect. And Kevin Spacey narrates it. It's an excellent series. And they did Kennedy Nixon back to back with Clinton Bush. And what is was interesting to me was how this stuff played out. Very not similarly, but all that behind the scenes stuff is stuff we normally don't pay a ton of attention to unless you're really afraid of the front runner. Right. And so in this case, where people are afraid of the front runner. I am. But a lot of people else are and others aren't that. So they're trying to this is like the first defensive battle that it's actually not the first one, but it's the first sort of modern social media age defensive battle like this. And it is pretty fascinating. Now, let me ask you this question, though. Have I ever told you, Michael Steele, that you're wrong about anything? Have I ever said that?
Ooh.
On occasion you have said that, sometimes with a little glee in your voice.
I can picture that.
Yeah.
All right, so right now I'm going to have a little bit of glee in my voice. I'll tell you why you're wrong about this. Because Trump is going to pull back on the media, and one of the things that has driven people to the polls is his ubiquity on cable news. And if they see him less, they will remember him less. This is an exposure game. Advertising works. That's why we're still sitting here in a 100-year-old technology screaming into a microphone that's shaking the earth somewhere out in the western suburbs, right? So advertising works. And the more public exposure he has, and the more he's there, and they're going to pull him back on Twitter. They're going to pull him back on – they basically took this Twitter account away from him, I'm told. They're receding to a point that I think it's going to have an effect, because I think it's fevering up and ginning up the people. Now, New York is going to have, I think there's no question, he's going to have a good week in New York next week. And in the following week, in that sort of the Yankee primaries, they call it, that's got Rhode Island and Connecticut and a bunch of other stuff in it, he's probably going to have an okay week there. But he is just getting eaten alive in the Midwest and the West. And that
well,
is.
He's not getting eaten alive in the West. He is getting eaten a little bit in the Midwest, in about three states there that are going to play.
Well, in terms of delegate counts, though, in terms of delegate counts, and then California.
So there are two pieces to this delegate puzzle. There is the front piece, which is you go to the polls, you go to the caucus, you vote, and they're allotted. You win, you get some.
Right.
And then there's the back end piece, which is largely over, super delegates for the Democrats, but they're, our uncommitted delegates in the GOP. What you saw in Colorado was a change to their system. They decided not to do a convention or a primary, but to select their delegates by convention. No one bothered to pay attention to that in the Trump campaign, and Cruz cleaned up there. But the backstory, the back end delegate selection process, it's not going to yield the kind of numbers you're going to see on the front end. So if Trump wins New York big, over 50%, takes all 95 delegates, he will have more than made up for any losses he got this past weekend. More than make up for it.
Do you think that gets him over the number if he gets to New York? If he takes all 95 in New York?
Putting up 95 delegates out of New York, it gets them on a pathway that makes it much harder. Then he's only looking at having to win 52% of the delegates that remain.
That's a good point.
Of a sudden now, as his numbers go down, Cruz's numbers go up for getting the delegates in the first blush, meaning primary or caucus delegates. They're still going to do the operational background stuff they need to. But the reality of it is this is still a front-loaded process, meaning you get your delegates at the ballot box, and you clean up on the backside with delegates who are super delegates or whatever you want to call them.
All right. I just want to say one thing about Hillary Clinton, that my MetroCard, when I've used it in New York, because that's how I get around New York,
yeah,
doesn't work either. I haven't figured out how to swipe
it. The ones
it.
Here, too. Are...
I mean, it's that was there's not when they that was so unfair to make that like a.
Well, it was a cute SNL skit.
Right, they just bought the card and forgot to put money on it.
I mean, it's possible. Or they practiced it a bunch of times to see if it worked, and then they actually ran it all down. Yeah, it's true. I mean, that can happen.
Clear. Hillary Clinton doesn't ride the subway in New York. So
yeah.
The idea of doing the stunt of her riding the subway is ridiculous to begin with. So you don't put your candidate in a situation where they don't do the thing that they're being asked to do. It's normal for them to do
it. Very common. It's very – I'm sorry. Again, you're wrong. It's very common.
But wasn't it a response, though, because Bernie had touted about his subway, like he hadn't used it in a long time?
Right. So she got on the subway.
From New York.
Like she always does, and she went one stop, because that's what people in New York do. They go one stop, which is three blocks. Right. They like to do that. They go one stop and then they get back up. So all the trouble of going down, waiting, smelling the pee and wait, and then getting on the train and then staying next to a guy who's looking at you, who's got his pants around his ankles, and then going back upstairs was all with 30 cameras around you. Totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally worth
it. Was a weird photo op, to be sure.
It was
awkward.
Yeah, that's how it goes. All right, the great Michael Steele, wrong on only one account, and actually only time will tell. And then once we get to the convention, he's going to sit down with me.
I don't know that I'm wrong yet.
Yeah. I know.
I think he's right, actually.
Right.
And I'll join up with him and smear it in your face when he's actually right. So
thank you.
We'll look forward to that.
Yeah, we look forward to that. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, be good.